Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, wherever you may be, because we are a global tribe of disruptors. You are listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption, disrupting your automatics, your automatic way of doing, your automatic way of being, your automatic way of thinking. Today's show is Disrupting Fear. We are live every Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern. You can catch us at WHCR.org, 90.3 FM. We are the voice of Harlem. And right now you can also catch me live on my Facebook page, Nick.Papadopoulos. Happy Sunday and the start to a new week. It is Super Bowl Sunday. You're listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption. And speaking of fear, I have lots of fear that the New England Patriots are going to win. Just saying. So you know which side of the fence I'm leaning towards right now. So I'm Coach Nick, author, speaker, facilitator around transformational and leadership topics, and an absolutely committed disruptor. Our purpose is to awaken humanity so everyone gets to leave their mark. I deliver transformation and disruption in the areas of leadership development, corporate culture engagement, team dynamics, and personal development. And one of my favorite things I get to do every month is I run a men's group here in New York City. Okay, today's show is Disrupting Fear. Fear divides people. Fear gets people and teams stuck from moving forward. Please listen today on how to effectively disrupt fear, this experience, this emotion of fear, so something different gets created, like we do every week. The first segment is opening thoughts, which includes Nick's riff. Second segment is Say What, where we talk about an article related to our story. In the third segment, we have an Ask a Dudette, because we're a bunch of dudes talking, so we want to bring in a lady to shed her opinion and disruption. And then in the fourth segment, we have parting shots. Special guest in studio, we have Jake Fishbein.
Dude.
Hi, Jake.
Hey, dude.
Jake and I go back a long way. He's in the Dudes of Disruption men's group. He and I are writing a book, a novel about men. And we were just on TV, right?
Yeah, on iStand TV.
And what was that about?
We did this interview called... We did an interview for the Relay series, which pairs mentors and mentees.
So yes.
I got to interview Nick.
Awesome.
About his journey through transformation.
Cool.
And some of our work together.
Yes. And we're going to post that again on... You can go to Dudes of Disruption Facebook page. You can also go to my personal Facebook page to see it, or Jake Fishbein's.
That's right.
As well. Or go to iStand.tv, right?
Yes.
And see Jake Fishbein and Nick Papadopoulos. Our other special guest, the Ask a Dudette section, is going to be Kerry Turner. Your phone calls, 212-650-6903. Send in your online comments. We're talking about how to disrupt fear. I think that's an important topic right now. And we start every show, first segment, with Nick's riff.
I know that, dude.
You want a revolution? Well, you know, we all want to change the world. You tell me that it's evolution.
All right, we start the riff with a quote. This one's from Malcolm Gladwell, The Tipping Point. If you want to bring a fundamental change to people's beliefs and behaviors, you need to create a community around them where those new beliefs can be practiced and expressed and nurtured. That would be a good way to disrupt fear. And Jake, right before the show, you mentioned, you were paraphrasing a sentiment or something that you read earlier that I wanted you to chime in during the riff here with a quote.
That's right. One of my favorite authors, most influential authors, is Nikos Kazantzakis. He wrote
Zorro. Wait, hold on. He sounds Greek.
He does sound Greek.
I'm just saying.
I'm a bit of a Hellenophile. That's probably why I'm friends with Nick. So, like anything, I go to Kazantzakis in search of wisdom. And something he said about fear is that fear, and I'm paraphrasing here, is like a prison. And that when we are fear and we act out of fear, we are not free.
I love that. Good context for our show. You know, I remember, Jake, I'm a New Yorker, native New Yorker, although I've lived in Boston, Colorado. I'm a native New Yorker, born and raised here, and I remember 9/11. Okay, and I remember 9/11 itself. I remember the days after 9/11. And in the aftermath of 9/11, people all over the world, all over the country, stood shoulder to shoulder, arm in arm, locked, side by side. Everybody was a New Yorker. The whole darn world was a New Yorker. The whole world was an American citizen. I mean, we had countries like Jordan and Kuwait and Cuba sending us materials and goods and resources, trying to find ways to support the New Yorkers that have been impacted, supporting United States, supporting the citizens of our country. People drove from thousands of miles to come to the hospitals to help us, right? You know, firemen and police officers from everywhere were coming here, right? Everybody was united. Everybody, it was a united world. And what's interesting in that moment, the days, you know, right after that, and I always remember, because I'm a big New York Yankees fan.
Unfortunately.
Jake would be a fan of the evil team up in the New England area. But I always remember, and it still moves me to even say it right now, I remember when the Yankees took the field up in Boston. And for those who are not sports fans, the Boston Red Sox and the New York Yankees absolutely despise themselves. The teams despise themselves, each other, I should say. The fans do. And I remember when the Yankees took the field at Fenway, the Fenway faithful, as they call them, or friendly faithful, all gave the New York Yankees a standing ovation. And in that moment, we all got that we were playing a much, much bigger game. And one of the disruptions here is that, you know, all of that happened. Fans standing on their feet for the Yankees, for example, or countries from all over the world standing side by side and helping us, happened out of reaction to a crisis, out of a tragedy, out of something awful, okay? And great that great that people reacted the way they did. But the disruption is, how do we come together like that? How do we come together in a proactive, energetic, creative, powerful, passionate way without a crisis, absent of a tragedy, doing it in a proactive way? Because when you do it in a proactive way, your mindset, your way of being is very, very different than when you are operating from a place of crisis. So that's one of the disruptions. The disruption is to create something different when we're operating from an empowered place, a proactive place, which allows us to access creativity and innovation and passion in a much different way. Something different is possible when you operate without deadlines at work, without pressures to make a decision or a demand from someone, or certainly a crisis or a tragedy like a 9/11, right? You know, when people are operating from a place of fear, it's hard for people to come together, hard for people to trust each other, hard to see our similarities, hard to feel safe, hard to create a mutual purpose. And the result is separation, frustration, exhaustion. I mean, everyone's exhausted already. We're 2 weeks into this presidency, right? The result is anger. The result is a divided country or a divided team at work or a divided relationship with a partner. I want to just share some science. I'm going to drop some science on you, okay?
Go for it.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right.
I love science.
As it relates to fear. So when you experience... You love science?
Not really.
Okay. You just wanted to say that it sounds good.
I just wanted to say it, yeah.
Okay. That's Jake, by the way, everyone. For those on WHCR.org, you can watch and listen, or on my Facebook page. When someone is in the emotion of fear, your reptilian brain, you become a reptilian brain. It goes into action and the rest of your brain actually shuts down. The function of this part of your brain is to support you either to fight or be in flight. When you're in this emotional state of fear, you have two choices, and everything you do will be based on these two choices. So do you think when you're in those, when you're only operating in this reptilian brain, do you think you have a chance to actually have a healthy dialogue?
No.
Do you think you have a chance to actually feel safe?
Definitely not.
Do you think there's an opportunity to actually create something with somebody else that at least we can come to an understanding, even if we don't agree with?
Nope.
Because there's only two choices. You're either going to fight or I'm going to fight or run, right? Remember the last time, this is for all of folks who are listening and watching, remember the last time you were in a disagreeable situation, right? It could be at home with your partner, it could have been with your boss, could be with a client. Were you wanting to have a nice, cozy, intimate moment with them? Loving the chat with that other person? No, not likely. Probably you were wanting to get away from them and probably do a few other awful things to them to escape the uncomfortableness. These are fight and flight reactions. Let me make one more point, Jake, and then I got a question for you.
Go for it.
When you're experiencing fear, your entire body goes into fight or flight, as I mentioned, and all your blood is redirected to the parts that are needed for fight and flight, to your heart, your lungs, your muscles, and your reptilian brain. The rest of your brain is left with only enough blood to keep it on idle, which means that you have no capability for rational or creative thought. It's all black or white. Yes or no, good or evil. In this state, you do not have the ability to think of alternative solutions to the situation, only to run or fight. So, of course, our country is in the situation that they're in right now. Because we're in a fight or flight situation. Think of it not just in politics, even though we're using politics as a backdrop. Think of it at home when you're in a fight or feeling unsafe with your kids in a conversation, with your partner, with your neighbor, at work with your boss or with a coworker. So Jake, if fear is getting in the way politically or from forging a business deal with someone, or for a couple who once were in love, now looking to break up or not being able to find their way, what's the answer?
Well, that's a very big question, Nick. And I think there are probably multiple answers to it, and this is my way of stalling. But that being said, when I find myself fearful, I think the most important thing to do is recognize it, to see that I'm acting out of fear.
Yes.
And that gives me the opportunity to choose not to choose from fear.
Yes.
That I know going through my life, fear is always present. I think in all of our lives, fear of failure, fear of making the wrong choice, fear of hurting someone else is constant.
Right.
But being aware of it and being aware, oh, I'm making this choice because I'm afraid, is important. It allows me to make a different choice, the choice that I, you know, the gut wants to make.
And yes.
That's what to listen to in fear, is not the fear itself, but the underlying, you could call it morality, you could call it what's right.
Yes.
And I think we all have that compass.
Yes.
That really tells us, I'm afraid and I'm fearful, but there's something else that I need to do.
I love it. Two of the things that stood out to me from what you said, one is, one of the ways to disrupt fear is to actually tell on yourself.
Yeah.
Is to actually say, I'm fearful of this situation. I have a bias in this situation. I'm downright scared right now. Just to tell on yourself. Great leaders at home, at work, and in their communities, tell on themselves, even if it's to themselves. Because that's a way to become aware of what's driving your actions. By the way, there's a quote that I heard from someone who said, if you don't talk it out, you will act it out. Mm-hmm. And so I love what you said about telling on yourself as a way to disrupt fear. And the other point that you were making, there was a second point that you made.
Well, to tell on myself and then to trust that internal compass.
Yes.
The one that, you know, we always know what's right.
Yes.
Even if we don't like it.
Well, that what I also got from what you're saying is that by the way, you can have fear and still operate from a place of doing what's right.
Absolutely.
And what's right now politically? What's right in any relationship that you have at home? What's right in any relationship you have at work? Is to always create and invent and find a mutual purpose. And to do it from a proactive way versus a reactive way, because when you're doing it from a proactive way, creativity and innovation and even smarts is now available.
That's right. I mean, in that case, I'm not trying to protect myself. We're not trying to protect ourselves, but actually trying to create something.
Yes.
And when we actually try to protect ourselves from something, that oftentimes is what we end up creating anyways.
Yes.
It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. I want to be right about having to protect myself from this.
Yes.
And lo and behold, my choices create that.
Awesome. So the question for the Global Tribe, right before we take break here, is where in your life is fear getting in your way? politically, at home with a partner, with your neighbors, in your community, if you're involved in your community, at work, with your boss, with a client, with coworkers, where in your life is fear getting in the way, and not as a make wrong, rather to tell on yourself, to become aware of, because that is driving your interactions and how you relate and how you view people, and you're acting it out. So more when we come back, we have our Say What segment coming up, which is where we cover an article, and it's going to be around fear. Your phone call is at 212-650-6903. Please send in your online comments. All right, you're listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption, Disrupting Your Automatics. We have special guest Jake Fishbein. For those who are on WHCR, hey, you can see him, or on my Facebook page, Kerry Canova-Turner. Coach Kerry is calling in the next segment. This week we're talking about disrupting fears. Please send in your online statements. We have an online statement here from Anissa, who says to come to this Tuesday, if you're in New York City, on Tuesday, February 7th, come and join Coach Nick and some of the other disruptors. From 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., we are doing what's called Cocktails with Conviction. It's a casual, monthly, politically-minded social gathering of people. We intend to connect, share ideas, get active, get involved, and reinforce our community and our convictions, and more importantly, disrupt fear and operate from a proactive place. If you want to know more about this event that Coach Nick and the Disruptors are doing this Tuesday, February 7th from 6 to 8, email me at coachnick@coachnick.com. Jake, we were just listening to Psychedelic Shack by The Temptations, which, by the way, was the inspiration for the B-52's Love Shack. What I love about that song, and it's really in line with our show this week, which is it's a unification anthem. The song Psychedelic Shack is about welcoming all people in this shack. And by the way, this shack would be the Global Tribe of Disruptors. It would be called the United States of America. It would be called the United World of Citizens, mm-hmm. Okay? Everybody is welcome. Everybody gets a vote. Everybody gets to go. Where you can be free. You can be yourself, free your mind, and be accepted for who you are. I absolutely love that song. I want to say this about, you mentioning, Jake, what's the answer to disruption?
Right.
One of the things that I want to say, and then we'll talk more later about it, is that I think a way to disrupt fear is by creating a safe place for people. Is for people to feel safe so that they can express themselves. Think about this for the people who are watching and listening. One of the things that we fear most, one of the things that we dislike most, is being judged, is being made wrong. And politically, that's all that we're doing to each other. I'm making one side wrong, the other side is making me wrong, the third side, who doesn't care about either side, is making both sides wrong, right? Everybody's making each other wrong. And think about it. Think about it like when you were growing up with your parents, when they made you wrong, or when adults made you wrong, you rebelled. Think about it at work when people make you wrong. Think about it in your community when people make you wrong. The answer, my friends, is, and disruptors, is safety. It's creating a safe place. I'm going to say more about that. I want to first share our Say What story. Okay? Because the Say What story, which was written by Jessica Lusenhop of the BBC News, and the article is How Donald Trump Uses American Anxiety. Okay? And by the way, you could say about Donald Trump, you could use a lot of politicians, mm-hmm. You could say a lot of leaders around the world have used fear and anxiety as a way to influence and direct people. And certainly Donald Trump has been doing that, right? And according to this Say What article, at least, right? So Jessica Lusenhop from the BBC News talks about she highlights two of his most important speeches, right? One was his Republican Party nomination for president, and also his inaugural speech, right? His party nomination speech, for example, he said things like, "The attacks on our police and the terrorism in our cities threaten our very way of life. Beginning on January 20th, 2017, safety will be restored." During his inaugural speech, he talked in great detail about the carnage. He used the word carnage many, many times to describe our country. So he was creating a fear-based place for folks. She goes on to say, Jessica Lusenhop, in this article, "How Donald Trump Uses American Anxiety," she goes on to say the implication is that average Americans are not safe, which is what I'm saying, right? The opposite of disrupting fear is safe. So he's implying that Americans are not safe by saying things like we have carnage in our culture, right? And what he cites is law, this is quoting from the article, "law flouting, undocumented immigrants, police shootings, and homicide rates as evidence of this." What's interesting that she points out in the article is that many of his statistics were quickly debunked by multiple outlets, or at least shown to be misleading, right? Though the number of homicides has climbed in some of the cities, right? Overall, crime rate in U.S. is literally at an historic low, okay? After falling precipitously in the 1990s. U.S. unemployment is at about 5.5, down from the peak of 10% during the economic recession back in 07, 08. So the article talks about this woman, Shayna Guderian, who's the author of Anxious Politics and an associate professor of political science at Syracuse University, who says that when people are anxious, they use issue ownership as a proxy for expertise. And what she goes on to say, Shayna Guderian does, is that Republicans are seen as better on issues of immigration, terror, and crime. That's why he's trying to make people anxious about it. So there's a story already floating around out there that Republicans are better, okay? Now, I'm not a political show, so I don't know if that's true or not. So that's not the point. What I'm trying to emphasize here is how we, you and I, use fear to influence others, not as a make wrong, but how our politicians, how leaders, how you and I can use fear to influence people and also to get in our own way. What Guderian says in this article is that people aren't very good at eliminating risk. People are much more afraid of Ebola than things that will actually kill them, like alcoholism. Things are perceived as riskier when they're more vivid. This is a really important point. I want to ask you a question, Jake.
Go for it.
Voters can be motivated, Guderian says, by good storytelling. She points out the fact that instead of providing statistics on the number of violent crimes committed by undocumented immigrants, Trump cites a single example during the campaign of Sarah Root, who was killed by a drunk driver, who, by the way, was a man who was in this country illegally, right? He's just telling stories, but very specific stories, in this case, of Sarah Root and an illegal immigrant killing her, and lumping people or hoping people use these stories to start to actually create their facts. So what do you say about that? I mean, and what do you do as a leader? I mean, what do you do if you're on the other side of that?
Well, I mean, people are storytellers. We've always been storytellers. We always will be storytellers. And I think the frank truth is, individually, we don't care about facts. I could get straight A's in college. I could get 95s on everything.
Right.
And if one professor gave me a harsh critique, or a friend of mine compared me to themselves,
right,
negatively, I might think I'm a bad student.
So you're saying people make up stories
all the time. And we live in stories. I live in stories. You live in stories. Everyone lives in stories. We live in our own stories. And then I live in my story of Nick.
Right.
Which is different than Nick's story of Nick.
Got it.
And has nothing to do with facts. It all has to do with my experience and whatever I'm creating in my mind around myself, around you, around anybody.
Yes.
And so it's far easier to connect with a story than it is with a statistic.
Right. And what I love about you, Global Tribe, please get this point. This is a really important point, is that what Donald Trump uses effectively, right, and we also do this as human beings, that we create stories, like Jake said, where facts actually don't matter. Actually, the story becomes the fact.
That's right.
The interpretations and the experience and the emotion that gets created from that storytelling becomes the facts. It's fascinating. And why it's important to disrupt that is because those stories are influencing how you relate, how you view, how you perceive, how you interact with other people.
Yeah.
How you interact with the facts.
That's right.
We have record-breaking, historic lows in crime, lows in unemployment, yet people out there think that America's broken.
That's right.
And again, you could apply this to anywhere in your life, right? Like you said, like Jake said, what did you say about your straight A's?
I could have straight A's, but if I got a harsh criticism, I might have a story that I'm a terrible student or that I won't ever amount to anything, and it won't matter the facts that are present in my life. I'm going to choose to focus on the story and the significance I put on them, not what's actually present.
So, really interesting. Thank you, Jake.
You're welcome.
We have an online comment before I continue with the say what story. My friend Rosemary, thank you, Rosemary, for watching and listening like you always do. She says, fear is inward in each person. Mm-hmm. Fears happen because we often do.
Yeah.
And again, I think what Jake said earlier, Rosemary, is that having fear is not necessarily the issue. Where it becomes an issue is pretending like we don't have that.
Yeah, or when we allow fear to be the ruler of our lives. When we're chained to fear, that's when it's the issue. We're always going to be fearful and afraid.
Yes.
It's hardwired into our brains. It's whether we choose to let fear drive our car or whether we choose to drive the car ourselves.
Exactly. And if we choose to let leaders... And we choose to let leaders lead us through fear. And that goes for all sides, by the way. I mean, obviously right now there's a greater emphasis on the president because he's front and center. But we also get to choose. This is the disruption. We get to choose. We the people get to choose how our leaders rule us. If we're operating from a fear-based place, that's going to actually fuel more fire for them to continue to lead us that way. Rosemary's got a few more points here. We live our lives the way we tell our narrative stories. The mind makes up things because sometimes our hearts cannot take the truth.
Mm.
Ooh, Rosemary, drop the mic. She also goes on to say, Jake, fear is our lack of relying on ourselves. And she says, Jake's right on.
Thank you, Rosemary.
Let me just finish up with this one last point. Thank you, Rosemary, with this Say What article, How Donald Trump Uses American Anxiety by Jessica Lusenhop of the BBC News. She talks about focusing on fear and stoking fear doesn't always pay political dividends. In one experiment, she points out in the article, this woman, Guderian, had people watch a political ad designed to make them more anxious about illegal immigration. How about them apples? Right, since that's such a hot topic, right? Then they read statements from six fictitious politicians, and Guderian, who was running the experiment, found that the politicians who spoke only about how scary the situation was were seen as less trustworthy as the ones who also proposed a solution to the problem. She goes on to say that you need to provide people some solutions for people to continue to listen and to trust you more. People will start to tune out the anxiety after a while if you do not tell them what to do with it. That may be the reason. Do you think that may be the reason why the president has been so aggressive and so assertive in his first 2 weeks in coming out with so many executive orders? You know, Trevor Noah said kiddingly, he said, why do you have to be the first president to actually follow through on all your promises? He is actually following through on his promises. But what do you say about that? Because, I mean, it's an interesting study they did, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think it's really interesting and it's important. I mean, one of the things we talk about is being one with your word. And up until this point, he is being one with his word.
Right.
And that creates trustworthiness to people who are aligned with him.
Yes.
To believe this guy is doing what he told me he's going to do.
Yes.
Now, it doesn't matter that it may not line up with the statistics.
Right.
That we don't have a lot of crime committed by immigrants in this country, but if it lines up with what he said he's going to do, that says he's doing something about it.
Got it. Okay, Global Tribe of Disruptors, when we come back, I'm going to share with you some steps on how to create a safe place for people to actually have an understanding of each other differently and more effectively, and how to start to create a mutual purpose. Because I think that's the opportunity right now, is that regardless of what side of the fence you're on, Republican, Democrat, don't care, there's an opportunity to create a mutual purpose, a place where everybody feels safe, everybody feels like they matter, everybody feels like they get to go. We're also going to have Coach Kerry Turner when we come back. And again, please call in 212-650-6903. Keep sending in your online comments. All right, you're listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption, Disrupting Your Automatics. Today's show is Disrupting Fear. Please check out the Dudes of Disruption on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter. You can email me at CoachNick@CoachNick.com. One of the questions for the global tribe out there is, where in your life is fear getting in your way? Where is fear getting in the way of your career? Where's fear getting in the way of you making powerful choices in the relationships that you have at home, in your neighborhood, in your community, at work, with your clients? Please continue to send in your online comments. We have an online comment, Gregory, a shout out to us. I'm calling you Gregory. Jake, from Gregory. Hello, Nick and Jake. Dudes, he says, I'm enjoying the disruption. Thank you, Gregory, for jumping in. That was Join Together by The Who, because today's show is about disrupting fear. And one of the ways to disrupt fear is to join together, is to come together. I love a couple of lines from the song Join Together. Do you really think I care what you eat or what you wear? Won't you join together with the band? There's a million ways to laugh. Everyone's a path. Come on and join together with the band. I want to welcome in Kerry Canava-Turner. Coach Kerry.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Coach?
I'm doing great. Hi, Jake.
Hey, Kerry.
Kerry, do you want to give us a one-liner on you, who you are, so the Global Tribe of Disruptors know who you be?
Oh, sure. I'm a coach and a writer, and my focus is on empowering women to use their voice to create an empowered life. And the funny thing is, my focus is also on the rise of the divine feminine, which we're seeing a lot of that right now, so it's pretty exciting.
Awesome. So, Kerry, I know you've been listening to the show. I saw you hop on our Facebook page, and I know you called in a little while ago as well. We've been talking about disrupting fear, and how fear, when we're in a fear-based place, often we're in reaction. We're operating from a place of catch-up, right? Something has happened, a crisis, a tragedy, a deadline, or we're under pressure. And often when we're in that place, our reptilian brain appears. And when our reptilian brain appears, we're operating from a fight-or-flight place. And when we're in a fight-or-flight place, creativity, innovation, being smart, being loving, all of that goes away, right? So, of course, you have a country that seems divided right now. You're a coach. How do you see fear getting in the way of your clients and the people around you?
Well, you just said something. It halts creativity, which is absolutely a big thing that I see. It keeps us coloring inside the lines. It has us play small in life, and it stops us. And most of all, I think what I'm seeing, too, is that it creates a perception of separation between me and you and everyone else. So it could create a lot of loneliness and anger, and fear wears many masks, and I think one of the ones that we're seeing a lot of right now is anger.
Right.
To remember, you know, underneath that is always fear.
Yeah, I love that you said that it creates separation. People go into their corners when fear is present. And that's why I wanted to have this show today about disrupting that, because Because we are the United States of America. We're the United Citizens of the World. This is our planet. This is Mother Earth. You know, I started the show by talking about, you know, the days after 9/11, how people came together. Everybody was a New Yorker. Everybody was an American. Everyone in the world came together. I mean, Rudy Giuliani was the country's mayor. And my point that I made at the beginning of the show is, you know, great that that happened, that people came together, but it happened because of a tragedy, right? And so the disruption is, how do you bring people together like that when there isn't or absent of a tragedy, absent of a crisis, right? You know, to do it from a proactive place, because when you're coming from a proactive place, there's the elimination of that reptilian brain. From your perspective, what's the solution to fear? You know, Jake said earlier, one of the solutions to fear is your ability to tell on yourself that you are being fearful, that you are operating from a place of, I'm right, you're wrong. What's your solution? Not to put you on the spot or anything, but, you know, a few people are watching and listening.
No, it's I'm with Jake. I think it's to remember that we're always at choice, and just having that awareness around choice, even if it doesn't feel or look like we have a choice, we do have a choice. And also being able to focus on what we want. When we're in fear, we're thinking about what we don't want. And whatever we're thinking about, we create more of. So being able to not only check in with your head, but be in your heart, and to me, I do a lot of visceral work inside the body, to check in with how we are feeling and using your own body as a tool to be able to shift yourself from fear into an empowered place of being.
I got you. We have an online comment from one of our men's group members, Mr. Fred. Thank you, Fred, for watching and listening. He says, so good, Nick! Exclamation point. Thank you, Fred. For the support. You know, Kerry and Fred, just because he just popped up on the screen, he's a law of attraction guy. I know you believe in the law of attraction as well, right?
Yes, I do.
Do you think this fear that's out there, and this is going to be a little controversial, what I'm about to say, I think, do you think the fear and the anger and the separation that we're seeing in the world is a reflection of who we are as a people? Is that what we're seeing? You know what I mean?
Yes, I do know what you mean. I get it. So I think it's a couple of things, Nick. In some respect, yes. I mean, because the universe, from my perspective and my belief system, is the universe is holding up a very big mirror right now.
Right.
About what works about for us and what isn't working.
Right.
And I really do believe it is a calling forth of what is best within us, which I do believe we're seeing.
Yes.
And a calling forth. Any of the violent things would not be anything that we would ever be wanting to be a part of, but like using our voices in a peaceful, loving manner.
Yes.
So yeah, I do. I mean, I do believe there's something called a collective consciousness.
Yes.
And it's showing up right now, and we're being shown this in a bigger purpose, because it's up to us, not our government, for us to create the world that we want to live in.
Yes, I agree. I agree. It, you know, as John Lennon once said, power to the people.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes.
the people, collectively. I mean, there's so many people in this country. There's so many amazing people in this country. There's so much passion and so much energy. Imagine if we all spend time talking about coming together, about creating a mutual purpose, about what is it that we all want, rather than you're wrong, you're the enemy, you're a snowflake, you're a fascist, you're the enemy, you're a bad person, I'm right, you're wrong. What would be possible if we focus on what we want? And that's why I keep going back to the 9/11 example, because in the days after 9/11, I was here. You were here. Jake was here.
I wasn't here.
Oh, you weren't here? Where were you?
I was in New Mexico.
Well, you were here in the country, at least. How's that?
Some people wouldn't maybe not say that.
But. What a wise guy you are. What a wise guy.
I can't help it.
Wise guy. what a wise, right? What a wise guy. Everybody was one, and we don't need a tragedy or crisis to go there. I have the evidence that we can do that. So let me ask this question. What's your view, Kerry, on the relationship between trust and fear?
Oh, my goodness. It's so funny. Every year I pick a word that's going to be my word for the year, and this year I picked trust, and I actually am wearing a little bracelet that says trust. So I think it's everything. I think it's an antidote for fear, and it takes a lot of courage to be in trust because, obviously, it's believing in something that you don't necessarily have any physical evidence for
right.
in the moment. But going back to choice, which is just paramount, I believe, in creating any kind of shift in our life, knowing that we have a choice, and choosing to trust that whatever is going on in our country and our world right now, that there is a power greater than me at work that's always for the greater good.
Yeah.
And so I think that trust is, like I said, I think it's the antidote for fear.
Yeah, I got it. You know, when I'm doing leadership development, one of the things I tell leaders, managers, folks who are in a position of overseeing others, one of the things I say that when you're interacting with your staff, right, when you're coaching, when you're giving them feedback, positive or constructive for that matter, when you're developing them, right, is to see them in their higher place, is to relate to them and interact with their best version. That requires trust, because there is a fear for that manager, for that leader, right, that I have an employee who is not right for the role. I have an employee who may be undermining me or undermining my corporate culture. I may have an employee who may put my top best client in jeopardy, right? There is a fear. And again, this is not about saying that we're going to live life without fear. The question is, like Jake said earlier, how do you tell on yourself sooner and quicker so that then you know that there's a fear that's present, so that there isn't this pink elephant in the room and you can deal with that? And to start to see, this is what I'm hearing you say, Carrie, and you tell me if I'm accurate. I'm hearing you say to start to see what's more similar about each other, to start to see the best in each other, to know that right now, many of us are operating from a fear-based place, which is not our higher being. It's not our higher place. And to give each other a break, to bring some compassion, so that starts to provide an access point to creating safety.
Absolutely. I think that we are much more alike than we are different, and we forget that, especially when we're in the conversations that are happening right now between everybody, we forget, and again, it's that separation thing.
Right.
But I definitely just believe that trust and focusing on what we want to create and believing that we can create it.
Yes.
Really having a grounded belief that we can create it and come together.
Yes.
And be the solution. And watching ourselves, checking in with ourselves, that when we open our mouths and when we can communicate with anybody, are we being part of the problem or are we being part of the solution?
Got it.
And if we keep, one by one, keep doing that, I think that we can, again, shift that creative consciousness. And that's what we're like rolling up our sleeves for right now, is being committed to shifting the energy in the country right now. Like, that's the game that I'm committed to playing, whether it's in the supermarket with somebody or in having a conversation with a friend. How do we elevate the conversation? How do we elevate the energy and know that we could be the difference?
I love it. And Carrie, you have fans on my Facebook page here. Gregory, who's an all-time classic Hall of Fame disruptor, because he was one of the original members of Dudes of Disruption, he said, I love the idea of having a word for the year. You have me thinking now of my word. So, Gregory, you're not going to get away with not giving us your word, so please type in that word. Because, of course, he follows up with, Nick and Jake, what would be your word for 2017? So, Jake, what would be your word?
Oh, my God. What would be my word? The word that comes immediately to mind is courage.
Awesome.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I love it. I'm going to say awaken.
Oh, I love that.
You know, I mean, that's my higher purpose, is to awaken people so that they get to leave their mark. You know, I always keep saying that the game is made up. Whatever the game is, the game of politics, the game of business, the game of relationships, right? It's made up. You get to make up the game based on what's aligned with your values, what's important to you, right? And to do that, obviously, in a responsible way, right? You know, Carrie, if you don't mind, I want to share a story. Okay.
Go right ahead.
Because I want to talk about, just for a moment, before I let you go, how you create mutual purpose. Okay? Because I took a course. I'm certified in a course called Crucial Conversations, which a company by the name of VitalSmarts actually created, right? It's a two-day program. It's for leaders. And it teaches you how to have crucial, challenging, important conversations that are highly charged, that have opposing views, and have a lot at stake, right? Which right now, politically, all of those would be aligned with, correct?
Yes, oh, yeah. For
okay.
Sure.
Right. So the thing is this. So, one of the things they talk about is, in order to create a mutual purpose, in order for two people or two groups to come together, you need to create safety. Safety is the ingredient, right? What they talk about is increasing your pool of shared meaning. We have a pool of shared meaning in this country. How do you expand that and build on that? And what they say is expand the pool of shared meaning and eliminate silence and violence, which is really about fear. You know, silence is about disconnecting, disengaging, disappearing. Violence is telling somebody off, telling somebody they're wrong, you know, even causing physical harm to them, right? How do you eliminate that? That's what the whole program is about, eliminating that and expanding a pool of shared meaning, right? And it talks about, there's 2 days of content, so clearly we're not going to do that on this show, but there's 3 steps I want to talk about, and one of them is to actually ask the person, like, why are they acting or reacting the way that they are, and really from a place of generous listening, from a place of like, I really want to understand you, and it's like totally safe. Let me take a step back. The first step is actually saying time out. This is the telling on yourself part. Time out. Our conversation is not working. It's not going anywhere. It's not going in the direction we want it to go, which, by the way, again, politically, that exists right now. You know, one person posts against the left. One person posts against the right. One person says, just post pictures of babies, right? It's like, so the first step that VitalSmarts talks about is, do a timeout and admit that something is not working. Step two is to say, I really want to understand. Tell me where you're coming from. Tell me why you're saying what you're saying. What has you feel this way? What has you continue to support the president? What has you continue to protest? Like, what has it happened? I really want to know, without interrupting, without any of the judgments, like really listening. And the third step is to actually then talk about, let's actually explore, let's get really connected to what we have in common. Like, why are we having this conversation in the first place? What do we want? Why are we here? Why are we Americans? Why do we continue to stay in this country? What would have both of us win? What's our mutual purpose? And sometimes it's obvious, and sometimes you have to invent one. And what do you think about that, Jake, Kerry? What do you guys think about that?
I mean, I think it's really key. I think that one of the things we were talking about, even walking in here, is what the American dream was and what it is today. And I think it's really important for all of us, whether it's on an interpersonal level or just individually, to think about what does it mean to be American in today's society, and what really is our commitment in the world? Not what we think our commitment should be, but what it actually is. Because when we can actually see what we're doing, I think it's so much easier for us then to create a mutual purpose towards what we actually want.
Yeah, and I think I love the idea of just sitting and listening, really generously listening to the other person's point of view, because I think so many times, most of the time, we're not doing that, and that's where judgment comes from. And just remembering that every one of us has our own unique history. We look through life through our own lenses from whatever's happened in our own lives, and
yes.
I do believe like a lot of that is going on right now.
Yes.
And to me, it brings compassion into the picture for each other.
Yes.
And as you discuss and really are able to express and listen to each other, an ability to then the pieces come together of what is it that we have in common? What's our common ground?
Yes.
And that could move us in the direction of uplifting this and healing this.
Awesome. We're going to go to our parting shots. Kara, do you want to do a parting shot as well?
What do you mean?
just to wrap up, we're going to do the final points before we wrap up. I'm disrupting. I am a disruptor. Before we go to parting shots, you've been listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption, Disrupting Your Automatics. Today we've been talking about disrupting fear. We have a podcast. It's on Podomatic and on iTunes, and we are still in the top 10. We are number 9 on Podomatic in the self-help category. So thank you, disruptors out there, for continuing to download, listen, comment, share, support. So the podcast will drop tomorrow, Monday. So thank you for watching and listening today as well. You've been listening to Kerry Canova-Turner, Coach Kerry. You've been listening to Jake Fishbein, who I'm writing a book with, and you're CEO, you're
co-founding a Vinyl of the Month club.
Yep.
Which is actually on Wednesday. Keep an eye out for us. Experience Vinyl on Billboard Magazine.
Awesome. Before we go to parting shots, Gregory has his word.
He says
he loves Awaken for me, Encourage for Jake, and Trust for you. He says, Nick, I knew you'd ask. My word is unreasonable because more is possible when I'm bold, fearless, which I love that he put that in there. Fearless and not being reasonable. I love that. I mean, to me, unreasonable is absolutely the opposite of fear. So, Jake, how about you go first? Oh, ladies first. Is it ladies first? Okay, ladies first. Is that okay, Kerry?
Okay, yeah. I just want to just say one more thing about, I'm going to go to your word, Nick, awaken.
Yes.
I think that it's really great to remember and look at this opportunity happening right now. What's happening right now is an opportunity, and my experience is that many people are awakening to their own God-given gifts right now.
Yes.
And I love your word, and I think that it's definitely a part of disrupting fear, so thank you.
You're quite welcome. So do you want to give us is that your parting shot?
That was my parting shot.
Okay, cool. Awesome. Jake?
Okay, I'm going to go back to the beginning, and fear is a prison. I think something for us and myself and all of us to really keep in mind is, do we want to be imprisoned? Mm. We say we live in the land of the free and the home of the brave. Well, let's choose to be free and brave because we get to make that choice.
I love that.
Yes.
Right? Kerry, look at him. Look at him.
I love it.
Maybe we should bring him back. What do you think?
I think so.
Okay. I think so too.
My parting shot would be, when you eliminate fear, you eliminate the reptilian brain, which I talked about earlier. When you're in fear, that emotion takes over, the reptilian brain is activated. And then when you eliminate fear and you eliminate the reptilian brain, then you can operate from an adult place. You can operate from your higher place, from your higher being. And when you're operating from your higher being, often you're committed to something different. You are looking for ways to create safety in the relationship, safety in the space. And in that moment, you can be compassionate, you can be empathetic, you can be more understanding. Your listening actually changes. What you say actually changes. I started with a Malcolm Gladwell from The Tipping Point quote. I'm going to end with that as well for my parting shot, which is, that is the paradox of the epidemic, that in order to create one contagious movement, you often have to create many small movements first. And the small movement here today has been to disrupt fear. We have a men's group here for Due to Disruption. Email me at coachnick@coachnick.com. Coach Nick and the Disruptors also have a monthly group that gets together called Convictions, Cocktails with Convictions. There's one this Tuesday, February 7th from 6 to 8. Again, email me at coachnick@coachnick.com. You've been listening to Coach Nick, the Dudes of Disruption, Jake Fishbein, Kerry Turner. We're back next Sunday from 2 to 3. Podcast drops tomorrow, and we end every show with another quote, which is from a classic Hall of Fame disruptor, Dr. Seuss. Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened.